Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've all bought and given gifts to various people in our lives. And some people, and even groups of people, can be rather easy to buy presents for. Take children or grandchildren, for example. It can be fun to spoil them with that toy that they want oh so badly, right? Maybe it's that Paw Patrol figure, that Barbie doll, or that nice, big, expensive thing that they just couldn't get themselves. It's fun to get gifts for children, isn't it? Kids can be rather easy to shop for. But some people, as you probably found out, some people can be rather challenging to buy gifts for, can't they? Take adults, for example. It can be hard to buy gifts for people who can just buy whatever they want, right? They have jobs or they might have a credit card. A spouse can also be a challenging person to buy a gift for, can't they? Did you pick up on all of their hints? Is the well of ideas running dry after you've celebrated numerous birthdays, anniversaries, and had many Christmases with each other? What do you get your parents or maybe your siblings with whom you've celebrated many things with? Giving gifts can also be rather challenging, can't it? In our text this morning, we see a gift exchange going on. The little King Jesus receives some gifts. But what do you give a king? Now add this fact to it. What do you give a king who is almighty, all-knowing, and the creator of all things? All of a sudden, that makes things a little bit more complicated, doesn't it? What does he give you? This morning, we'll see an answer to these questions as we look at the gifts of the wise men and that of Herod. So Matthew starts our text off today by introducing us to the wise men, or magi, as they are also called too. Who are the wise men? Honestly speaking, we really don't know. We really don't know too much about them. We don't know really where they come from. We don't know how many there were. We often assume that there were three because three gifts were given. We don't even know their names. What do we know then? Well, we know that they were Gentiles and they come from the East. They seem to have some knowledge about Jesus, but it also seems to be a little incomplete. It's not all there. And so Matthew tells us that these wise men then come after the night that Jesus was born. They don't come on the same night that the shepherds do. Verse 9 tells us that they find Jesus in a home rather than in a stable. And when they do come, they go to Jerusalem, the logical place where the King of the Jews would be born. They go to the palace and they go to the capital. They want to worship him and they want to bring him gifts. And so word travels quickly about their arrival, the apostle tells us, and their search for their king is reaching everyone. And this troubles Herod, the current king. It really shakes him to his core. He is the King of the Jews, not some lowly little baby. No one is going to take his throne from him. In King Herod's later years, it is well documented that he was insanely suspicious. Everyone knew it. He would eliminate any threat to his throne, and he would even eliminate members of his own family. He killed his own wife, his mother-in-law, and his three children because he saw them as threats to his throne. The emperor once said it's safer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's own son. And that can just really tell you the man's mindset. And if the emperor would kill his own family, he'd have no problem eliminating this newborn king. And as you can imagine, Jerusalem is stirred up along with Herod. If Herod's bothered, you're bothered. because you don't know what he is going to do. And so Herod decides to do something. He calls the religious leaders together and asks them, where is the king of the Jews to be born? Where is the Messiah to be found? And they tell him, in Bethlehem, according to the prophet Micah. And so with this information in mind, he begins to devise a plan. And so he calls the wise men to himself and says, find the little king for me so that I may too come and worship him. I want to bring him something. What does he want to bring the little king Jesus? He wants to bring him an end to his rule in life. He has no plans to worship him or bring a gift. There's only one king to Herod, and it is him. He plans to bring death and destruction to the King Jesus. And so Matthew continues on the narrative with the wise men and the gifts that they bring him. So as the wise men go on their way, the star leads them to the place where Jesus was. And so they find the boy, and it really gives them a great joy. And the wise men are warned to not return to Herod, but to go home a different way. God is not going to let Herod interfere with his plan of salvation. And while the wise men are in Bethlehem, they worship the new king. They fall down before him and give him the praise and honor that he deserves. And they give him gifts, royal gifts as well. They give him gifts fit for a king. But these gifts are also special in another way. These gifts tell us about the characteristics of Jesus, and they foretell what he is going to do. And we kind of heard about it in our sermon hymn. These gifts foretell who he is and what his life will be. Let's see what the wise men give him. Matthew says, first of all, they give the king gold. Gold is the king of all metals. It's the most precious and the most valuable. It rules over them all. Gold is the perfect gift for the one who is the king of men and the king of the universe. Jesus was born to be king, and he is the king, and he reigns not by force, but by love and grace and through his word. Gold helps foretell how he is the king. They also give him frankincense, which means high-quality incense. Frankincense was used in temple worship and in temple sacrifices. This is the gift for a priest and a sacrifice. In Latin, the word for priest is pontifex, which means bridge builder. And I find that a helpful description of what a priest does. He builds the bridge between man and God. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us through his death and resurrection in our place. He made it possible for us to go to him and to be in his presence through his self-sacrifice. Hebrews, a book about Jesus being our high priest, puts it this way in chapter 7. The author says, consequently, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then of those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. The frankincense points forward to our Lord's sacrifice for us and how we can approach God because of him. Jesus is our priest. He is our atoning sacrifice. And the last gift they give is myrrh, according to Matthew. And this is really a rather strange gift to give to a child. Myrrh was used to embalm the bodies of the dead. Myrrh is the gift for one who was to die. It is like giving someone as a baby gift a funeral pall. You don't really want to do that. Myrrh is kind of a strange gift. But Jesus came into the world to die, and this reminds us of that truth. And painter Holman Hunt has a picture that really depicts this truth. It shows Jesus as a boy in the carpenter shop, and he is bending over, working on something, and as you bend over for long periods of time, your back normally cramps, and so you stand up and stretch. And so as Jesus stretches, the sun shines on him and intersects with a board on the wall, making a cross. The shadow depicts him on a cross. And his mother Mary is there, and she sees that, and she begins to weep because she knows he is to die. Jesus came into the world not just to live for you and me, but also to die in our place so that we could be saved. So what do you give a king? The wise men gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts help to point out that he is the true king, the perfect high priest, and our Savior. These really are gifts fit for a king. But the wise men aren't the only one who gives gifts. This king does as well. What does our king give you and me? Over the last few weeks, we've heard about some of these gifts. Jesus gives us peace. He makes our relationship right with God. There's no hostility between us and him. Jesus has removed that through his death. Our Lord gives us joy. The peace and salvation that we have in him gives us a joy that is grounded in him and what he has done for us. Our King gives life. In this world, death will touch and strike us all. But our Lord has defeated death, and he gives us eternal life at that. Our God gives us love. We're not perfect people, and those sitting around us can certainly remind us of that fact. But despite our flaws, despite our problems, God cares for us both in body and in soul, although we don't deserve it one bit. And our God gives us the gift of grace, which covers our sins and makes us his children. Our God gives us many good gifts in Jesus Christ. And there's one more group, one more people that gives a gift as well. You and me. What do we give to a king who gives us these gifts and so much more? Simply put, we give him ourselves and our lives. It's all that we can give as Christians. Our lives are lived in response to what our God has done for us and given to us in Jesus Christ. We put forth thanks for what he has given, praise for what he has done. We give him our talents, our time, our service, and our gifts. All of these things are done in response to what he has done for us. They come forth joyfully, not begrudgingly or forced. We won't do these things perfectly, but our God forgives us when we don't. Our lives are the best things that we can offer. We give ourselves to the one who has made us his own. Our God really gives us many good gifts through Jesus Christ. And the gifts of the Magi help point us to that truth. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus the King. Amen.